And with that, it is now my distinct pleasure to introduce you to Tulare County's own DJ of the day. Please give a warm Tulare County welcome to Amber.
Thanks. Oh, I'm Amber, and today I'm extremely grateful alcoholic. As I was sitting here running through what I was going to say or what I wanted to touch on, I still get deeply emotional about my journey that I've been on, you know, and this thing ain't even close to being done. I take my job to carry the message of AA very seriously. It has given me a new purpose in life, and it's insane to me that all of these horrible behaviors, habits, and things that I used to do have actually turned into assets. And the program used to talk about that, and I remember one time I thought to myself when I was new, how in the fucking world can I be thankful that I'm an alcoholic? You know, because I was looking at that big mountain, and I had no idea how I was going to, you know, tackle this. But, you know, tomorrow I'll have 2 years and 6 months on the dot. So I want to share with you guys enough about my past, how it was, so that you'll know, like I know, that I am an absolute horrible alcoholic. And then enough about my recovery, so that I share enough that I hope I can, explain the power that God has put in my life through practicing the principles of AA every single day, hourly. I revert back to the principles, you know. It has taught me to live a completely different way. And through that, my life has changed, right? We change inside, and we start to change ourselves, and then we start to see this beautiful thing that happens around us. I started drinking. The first time I ever drank, I was 11 years old. My mom, I had already known by this age, was a practicing alcoholic. They had a bunch of demons, and my friends from down the road, her parents were over, they were playing board games, parents were, so they were distracted enough that I was able to steal enough demons to, I don't even know how many I had, and this is the mark where I should have known a long time ago. It hit me like a ton of bricks when I thought back on this experience after accepting, that I was a very bad alcoholic. I drank so much that evening that the last thing that I remember was being outside around 11 o'clock at night on my trampoline, and it was far away in the pasture, and I remember thinking to myself, oh my God, this is really dangerous. And then something inside me goes, yeah, I like it. And I like it, right? So I was a high risk taker from the beginning. So, you know, drinking was my secondary issue. Now that I look back on it, that's so true. And I see it. I've always been a very restless. I got diagnosed bipolar, high energy bipolar, actually, a couple years ago, and looking back now, I fit the bill to the T. But you know, my doctor has said it's a blessing and a curse. So some of the blessings I got, I was an extremely gifted athlete. I could walk on the court and be better than almost pretty much everybody. I was always effortlessly like the captain. I played basketball, volleyball, I ran track, I ran skate, long jump. When I was actually in middle school in Idaho, so I got really heavily involved in sports, and that was kind of, you know, living with my alcoholic mom, that was something that made me feel really good about myself. Because looking back now, I probably wasn't getting a lot of praise at home. My mom was a good person, but she was distracted by what she had going on with her and my stepdad, and they fought a lot verbally. I saw them get into one physical fight, but it was all verbal most of the time. And actually, sometimes that can be worse because it's so hard to identify those types of toxic behaviors in relationships. And we tend to stick around. And I actually repeated that in my own life. And so, I did not drink after I blacked out, and I actually, when I was jumping on the trampoline, I forgot the best part. I woke up in the second story of my house in my sister's room, and I woke up and all fours were just, I had completely, and not just rubbed them, they were completely scabbed over. So, my hair was crusted back, and I didn't drink for a long time after that. Because I think I was smart enough to realize that I probably carried the alcoholic gene that my mom had, that her dad had. My dad's grandfather drank a lot too, and so high school comes, I move out of my mom's house, she got a divorce, and shit really went south for her. She started drinking, My sister and I have different dads, so she moved in with her dad and I moved in with mine in Washington. And I think that was the beginning of, like, the breakdown of, like, my family for me. He worked all the time. My dad was a great guy, federal firefighter. But he was gone every other day for 24 hours at a time. And so what that turned into was me kind of leading a double life. I tried to get praise and attention through athletics and sports. And then when he was gone, I was partying. I was drinking. I was 16, dating a 26-year-old guy. You know what I mean? All these really toxic things. And I started, you know, very quickly, I'm the girl that was up at 3 in the morning. Everybody else is passed out. I'm hanging out with one or two other people. I'm always the girl out super late, coming home at 5 in the morning. Always like to drink liquor, too, because liquor is much thicker. And I definitely didn't like to mess around. And I didn't even like mixed shots or mixed drinks. I would prefer shots because then I know how much I'm drinking, right? So fast forward, I kind of led this double life where I was partying. I didn't know anybody else like me at school either. That hung out with all the party people, but still played varsity sports and hung out with those guys too, really. But my party people, those were my friends. I grew up in Seattle, a lot of pot smoking, a lot, you know, drugs were there. I definitely experimented with other things, you know. And, the night before my senior year, my dad was working. And I started the night with a bunch of Wild Turkey, and I had a really awesome 1970 bright red, beautiful Camaro, mint condition, restored, got behind the wheel, and I drank, and I became so comfortable drinking and driving at a young age that I still don't know how I didn't get into more trouble before I did. So the night before my senior year, I drank a lot of liquor, and I've been working on, you know, my tolerance. At 15, I was going up to Canada. We could bar hop. We could go through the border without even showing ID before 9/11. So I was essentially living a very adult-like party life. And I would have to say that I was addicted to that lifestyle and that environment just as much as the alcohol. I wanted to hang out and talk. I remember feeling like, I was like yearning for a party. Yearning for people to be around, yearning for this high, you know, energy atmosphere, always. And got behind the wheel, had two people with me, came into city limits going, I guess, pretty fast. And cops got behind me, but he wasn't, like, on, like, right behind me. So I saw the lights way behind, and I decided to go ahead, and I had a friend that lived just, like, a mile or two up the road. And I decided to enter city limits going about 110 miles an hour. Tried to make a right, cracked a telephone pole in half, spun out, hit a parked car, spun out again, hit two more parked cars, spun out once more, hit a third parked car. Had that last car not been where it was, I would have went downhill into an apartment complex and no doubt killed a bunch of people. So this is me at 17. This is high-risk taking Amber at 17. I blacked out during the accident. I pretty much woke up on the gurney. Two-thirds of the people on the scene of the accident knew my dad because he was incident commander of the federal fire department, so he actually worked on base, but was pretty well known on the island where we lived. And, you know, even then it was like I was crying out for emotional help. I was extremely lonely. There was all sorts of things going on with me, but nobody... looking back now, I was just screaming for help. But I went to therapy and I tried those avenues, and it really didn't work. I'll tell you the honest truth. I always felt like I was fucking smarter than the doctors I was sitting in front of. Mm-hmm. Right, and that was my attitude for a lot of things. Like I'm like, oh, you're cool. I'm really nice with everybody, but I'm smarter than you. You know what I mean? I got you. So I worked really, really hard. My dad definitely played a big part in this. I was able to go to AA, and I was seen in juvenile court, and so I was able to get a deferred prosecution. And I remember my dad yelling at me the next day, and he looked at me, and he said, I don't know what we're doing, but you're not fucking starting your life off with a felony. And, you know, thank God for that, because I'm going to tell you guys something. If my dad hadn't, tightened up the belt right there, and told me, like, what's up, I wouldn't have cared enough about myself to get my shit together. I would have fallen apart. I would have found some toxic guy to go be with, and I would have went and done all that, you know. Anything to distract from the real issue that was going on. So I did the whole, it was funny, going from one of the most popular people in your senior class to wrecking your Camaro and having to bum rides all of a sudden to get to, because I was 15 minutes out of town, I started to realize really fast that all these people that I thought I needed to keep up my reputation for or be fucking worried about, I did not need to be worried about these people because they did not care about me at all. I had parties with close to 100 people, and I can't get a ride home from school. You know what I mean? But we all know that those types of those friends and you know, it was a very good experience for me to know though that at the end of the day, nobody's going to get you through life but you. You know, so it was very humbling to get on the bus as a senior. You know, thinking I'm hot shit all the time, and I remember getting on the bus a couple of times, and I felt like crying, right? Because this whole thing, this persona that I built up about myself was fucking nothing, and I was seeing it, right? I started doing outpatient classes, I wrapped up all of my stuff, I ended up finishing a couple credits that I got behind on my senior year. The last 6 months of my senior year, I really put it together. And I did drink a little bit, but I was starting to realize that that party life was, it was empty, you know? And, you think that that's what you want, and then you realize that that's absolutely not what I want. So, graduated high school, met my ex-husband about 2 weeks after I graduated. I was 19, and we dated for quite a while. I was pretty inexperienced with the boyfriend stuff because I didn't really date in high school. I didn't want anybody to tell me what kind of I didn't want to be tied down pretty much. So, we ended up getting married. I had two kids. And, you know, if you'd asked me a year ago about this relationship, I would have told you that he was an abusive asshole. But today, I'm going to tell you that we were both lost. You know? I still don't like some of the things that he does. But it's not for me to judge, you know, him anymore. And I try to not do that. And it set me free in a lot of ways. You know, I get to be free because of that. It was very verbally abusive. All sorts of other things, very controlling. Like I can't go to, I remember at times I'd get a call from down in the grocery store line. Hey, are you, you know, things that, now it seems really crazy to me that I dealt with, but at the time it seemed pretty normal because I'd gotten so used to it, you know. We started fighting so bad. He appeared to be by his kids, and I was a wreck. There was even a 3-year period during this 12-year marriage that I didn't drink because he did not like me drinking. Because every time I drank, I would just let him know how I felt about everything. That's eventually what ended up happening every evening. And I was so fucking miserable those 3 years. Those 3 years were so, it was like I became so aware of my restlessness and I didn't know what to do about it. And I kept being like, okay, it's gonna get better, right? I'm not drinking, it's supposed to be better. Nothing was better. It was almost worse, as a matter of fact, that, it was like discovering how restless I really fucking was and how fucked up I really was. Because I was sitting there trying to go, oh, but it's not, you haven't drank in forever. You know what I mean? Him and I started fighting so very bad that it got to the point I was trying to move out. He tackled me for my phone. I slapped him when he was on top of me. And cops were called and I ended up being the one going to jail. In the end, that was such a blessing because it made me deal with my relationship. It made me deal because I thought to myself too, and I knew that after that happened that was going to be leverage for him to have custody of the kids. And that's exactly what happened. And so, the first 2 years, seeing the kids not on a regular basis, Joe got to set my custody and, oh yeah, you can come Wednesday or you can do this. The judge gave him all this power on how much time I got to spend with the kids. And it was hell. I was in physical pain every single day. The moment I woke up, I was in pain. At the time, Joe was the bad guy to me, you know? And, I'll take half that blame now, but it was like the boogeyman stole my kids, legally. And it was definitely kicked in what I would attribute to, like, how I used to drink in high school. Very, very reckless drinking. I'd go out to the bar by myself. Matter of fact, I kind of liked going out by myself because then I could do whatever the fuck I wanted to do without having to speak to anybody about it. right? And so a lot of going out, a couple one-night stands, you know, all these things that just emotionally bankrupt us. And it left me restless, discontent, irritable, all those things that we've talked about. So I was heading out to go bring my daughter something at my ex's house. Only it had two drinks, right? It was just like a pretty normal night for me. Ended up being pulled over and almost got a second DUI. They actually did not charge me with the DUI, but I didn't have a license for a year. So it was like all the penalties were the same except for paying and having to go to the classes. Because the VA could choose for up to a year to pick up the charges. And so I had to wait. And I never heard of that happen before, honestly. It was kind of like, I see what God was doing. God was working in my life. So I don't have a license, and I'm in the car with my dad getting a ride somewhere. And I'm just oozing just self-pity, and I'm just hating everything, and just, and I'm trying to figure out, I used to always say, what can I do? What can I do to fix this? Because I did care. I cared a lot. But that was half my fucking problem. How much I cared, and I let all that dialogue just so insane all the time. So my dad looks over, and I didn't even say anything. He goes, why don't you try AA meetings? And because I had meetings in high school, you know, it was the craziest thing. Somebody washed over me, and I went, yeah, I think I will. You know, and I started going to the Alana Club. I started going for about 6 months. I did that whole, I would time it, so I would show up right before, and I would leave right after. And my social life, I know, right? I really did. I tried to hide from everybody. I didn't want to talk about what was going on with me. It was bad enough for me to deal with it, so why the fuck would I share that with you so that we all can now deal with it, you know? I wanted to hide everything. I was so embarrassed, you know, and I was so emotionally bankrupt. And it's fucked up to have this feeling where, you know, you're a good person, you know, and you're like, I know I'm a good person in here, but my life does not reflect that. You know, you look around, you're like, nothing reflects that at all. So you're like, I had to tell myself, you must be lying to yourself then. You know, you must be lying to yourself. So I went to meetings for 6 months. I did not get a sponsor. I didn't read a book. But I enjoyed sitting in meetings, feeling like I wasn't the only person suffering as bad as I was. And, so my birthday was coming up. I had gotten a job at Target, and I worked there about 6 months, and I decided I was going to go out and dance that weekend. That was the initial plan, right? And then, of course, the plans after that ended up me drinking. So it had been 6 months since I drank. It was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I had a couple of the 99-cent vodka shots, which I always rolled with in my purse. Had no food in my stomach. I forget what shot I was on, honestly. And I had been drinking for maybe just 2 or 3 hours. I walk into the gas station on Dinuba Boulevard, and I went in there. And my friend was with me, and she parked the car this way, and I went into the gas station. I went in for a pack of cigarettes. And I walked in there. I blacked out. Now, my issue with blacking out, I'm a horribly functional blackout drunk. I will call people. I will make calls. I will hit on them. You know what I mean? People talk. We will have a conversation. And nobody will know. Nobody will know. Unless you really know me really well, because I won't look at you, but I can still, oh man, I can go on. I black out. I come to, and I'm sitting underneath the freeway with a homeless man of the overpass over here by Lover's Lane, 5711. And when I came to, I could not believe where I was sitting. I had no idea how I got there. It was maybe 5-ish hours later from when I remember walking into that gas station. I remember thinking, you're so lucky you've got your fucking clothes on, that something bad didn't happen to you. I had a crossbody purse on, so my purse was right here on my hip, and that was the only fucking reason I still had my purse with me. I had rented a hotel room that night too, and I had brand new boots on, brand new knee-high boots, dress to go out, you know. I walked the bottoms of those fucking boots off. They were cardboard. I looked down at my feet, there's just cardboard. There's no sole on either of my boots. I don't know where I walked, but apparently I walked fucking everywhere. So, you know, when people talk about your diseases out there doing push-ups waiting for you, fuck yeah, it is. You better fucking believe it. Without a doubt, I don't care how many years it is, it's just getting stronger and stronger out there. And I know science later will prove to us, like, why that is the case. But from my own experience, I have absolutely found that to be so true. And that's frightening to me. That's so frightening. Recovery. So after I blacked out, I got my ass into the Alana Club, and I was real raw that night. I didn't really share, but I shared that night, and it was like almost a cry. I was like, and this is what I said, I remember saying, I don't know what I gotta do, but I'm gonna have this problem for the rest of my fucking life, so I better figure out how I'm gonna freaking deal with it. And my sponsor walked up to me after that meeting and asked if I needed a sponsor. And oh boy, I did not realize how much I needed a sponsor, you know? I'm still lucky enough to have the same one, and she keeps it real with me, and I need that, you know? She made me mad a couple weeks ago, and that hasn't happened. And you know what? She was right. She was right. And this program will give us the tools that we need, right? To get out of all of that, it's there. It's really, really there. So she said, okay, we're going to meet once a week, you know, and she was really my fearless leader. I did every, and I realized this was a thing. There's this Buddhist tale, and it says this guy comes up and he's talking about, oh, I have all these problems. I go, this, these guys are driving me crazy, and this is why it is, and this is why. And they know what's wrong, right? But then they ask for help or you know, tell me why. And so the monk would go over and would pour into the cup, and he would say, I cannot pour or give you anything else. You're already full, right? I thought I knew everything. I thought that I knew. I did not know. I knew nothing. I knew nothing. I'm the smartest, dumbest person that I know. That's where I even still catch my alcoholic mind. Just the other day, I was at work. I had missed my Friday night meeting. And my brain's going, you need to do laundry. You haven't done laundry and all this. And I'm like, whoa. And I hadn't made it in like 5 days. And I get squirrely about that time. I like to go every couple days at least. And I was like, look, I was like, work. So my cunning disease was trying to use laundry the other day to talk me out of going, making sure I made a meeting. You know what I mean? And I caught myself and I'm like, and I remember, because I love to go to meetings. And I was like, wow, like, still operational in there, aren't we? Yeah. I will absolutely catch myself doing that at times. And working a program, my life has changed so much since I've given my life to AA, this program. The knowledge, you know, after sitting back and like feeling like I don't, like, oh, I'm a pretty intellectual person or whatever, the knowledge and it's like a real life survival guide for us alcoholics, you know, and that mark to that mark of difference is, for me, is willingness, you know, being willing to listen to my sponsor. And I know now too, when I fight things and I feel uncomfortable, like that's the inception of change right there, right? If it didn't bother us, or you know, let's say you're feeling like you're wallowing in your misery, that's actually a beautiful thing, because if you were like you how you were before, it wouldn't bother you so bad, right? But now we're bothered, right? That's beautiful. That means that you want to change. You know, embrace that. Embrace that. I know I try to now at times when I'm starting to feel there's times at work I feel a little insecure, and I'll ask myself what am I fearful of? You know, loss of whatever, loss of this, loss of this. There's always something to examine when you're feeling restless or fearful about something. And I continue to be in awe of just the fullness of my life now. You know, the other day I went to work all day. I went to a meeting. I took a newcomer out, and you know, I'm keeping up and doing all these things. I would have never been able to keep up all these with all my responsibilities that I have now. Even a year ago, even just a year ago. So the program continues to refine my abilities to handle life, to take on things that, like this DJ thing. I recently was asked to do this AcuPod DJ thing. And I said, yes, of course. And then I was like, freaked out. I'm like, I walked the convention center, that place is huge. But this is what God does in our life. So riddle me this. How can God take my assets, which is, I used to go out dancing all the time, right? Yeah, I love music. And I would be the girl that would get all the music together to make all the other girls dance at the parties and stuff. That was me. That was so me, right? And so when I was sober 4 months, it was New Year's Eve. And I liked it. I go to meetings by myself. I used to tell myself from the very beginning, cool if your friends can come. But this is a you thing. You know, you don't go because your friend's going. You go. So a lot of people see me. I go all the time by myself. You know, I'm always going.
Stop using your talent.
Oh yeah. And so how in the world can God use my talents like this? So 4 months over, I decided, okay, there's an NA dance. No, I didn't really do anything, right? Because I'm like, okay, I want to go. I really didn't have anybody to go with. And I told myself, you're going to go with me anyways. You're going to go. And it was this exciting. I like these. I'm a thrill taker, right? We have to know what appeals to us. So now I know. I like it. I like things that are thrilling, right? So I can find those things in other ways now. And so I'm like, oh, that's kind of exciting. So I go. I ended up seeing a couple friends that I knew from the program, and I danced all night. I talked with people. We ate wonderful dessert from their bakery auction that they have. It's amazing every year. And I had this insane epiphany. It was about 1:15, and I was like, wow. I was like, I'm going to go home. I'm going to have all of my self-respect, all my world, my clothes, you know, and I'm going to leave with an amazing experience from tonight. Not an experience that I'm going to have to pay for later on. This is an asset. This is beautiful. And I realized that because I started drinking so young, I was at fun dancing, always around drinks too, right? And so here I was realizing that I had more fun that night with people that I barely knew. It blew my mind. It was like an epiphany, because I'm going to tell you guys something, and this ain't a lie, I wouldn't have stuck around if I wasn't going to have any fun. Okay? And that's for real. So God made sure that He put me in the right spots at the right time to allow me that beautiful, you know, clarity. And so things really, really, that was a big change. That was a big mark for change for me. Because I realized that I had been lying to myself, and that, you know, I was reading it and I'm like, I am that deluded. Like, wow. And I was excited to see what other things, I could come up with and actually realize sober. I was just like, wow, let's go. This is interesting, right? It completely jogged me right there. And I would have to say that now, that's one of my missions that I feel like I truly need to bring. That God gave me a special skill set, right? And so now I get to do stuff like this DJ stuff, you know, and I cannot wait to put together a banging playlist and get everybody dancing, you know, let them have fun. And you better believe I'm going to be talking about it too. So I'll be on the mic. God, He will, if we decide that we want to live, you know, live the right way, and fight for our sobriety, He will give you things back in your life, things that you never thought. And I remember one time I thought, oh, I'm never going to go out dancing, I'm never going to have fun again. I literally thought that to myself. That was a fucking lie that my alcoholic mind was telling me for a very, very long time. And that kept me trapped and imprisoned. So today, I'm in real time, in real, real time, just in the last, I would say, 4 months, something happened too, where, you know, I've gotten so many big, big blessings. I've got a big promotion at work. My relationship with my kids is amazing. my relationship with my dad. I think that's a real good gauge too. If you want to look and see how you're doing in life, go ahead and just look at all your important relationships and how healthy are they. And I would have to say that all my relationships have gotten a big upgrade, you know. But I'm able to put my priorities straight now, and I realized how selfish I really was. Was so selfish. So in real time, you know, I continue to work with my sponsor, but I have to say that I want to share about my mental health and my mental illness. About 4 months ago, you know, here I am, just over 2 years later, and I'm looking around, and I was starting to get really discontent and restless, and so I stopped myself like I do when I realize that's how I'm feeling, and I asked myself, why am I feeling this way? And all the normal things that I used to be able to do, like, oh, work sucks, oh, my kids this, oh, that, but not there. They weren't there. There was nothing there but me. I'm restless. I'm just, it was like the dust was suddenly just a little bit more. And if people, man, I believe this, that people with substantial amount of time will always tell you it just gets better. And I'm banking on that because I just in the last month or two have had some breakthroughs in terms of, I feel more settled in myself. How am I 39 years old and I feel finally a little bit settled? And until I felt that way, I didn't feel that way. You don't know until you have it, right? And I look back now and I'm like, man, I was really, so everything happens in between our ears, right? Every action that we do, everything that happens, it starts within our mind. And the battle of the mind is going to, for me, it's going to be the greatest battle that I ever fight. So I was really restless and I was like, man, I'm doing my morning meditations. I'm owning work, right? I'm on time. I'm feeling really well. I'm always on time to get my kids. I could always do stuff. All that's really, really good. And I realized that and God spoke to me. He goes, I said, I feel really fucked up in the head. He goes, what are you going to do about it? So I was like, okay, I guess I need to make a new plan because I think it's important too in our, as we get sober, we can't stay stagnant, right? That's a setup. So for me, I have to continue to push forward and do new things in my program. So I said, okay, no more Netflix. I gave myself like a 2 week thing. I'm going to try it out, right? No Netflix at night. No more Witcher, even though he's so handsome. less music. Less music and more I made a commitment to start really meditating and doing I am affirmations every day. About 3 weeks into doing that, I cannot begin to tell you the amount. It's like I had a static radio on inside of me and it just got dialed down just a little bit more. I woke up one day and I can't tell you, I literally was like, I was looking for something. For the first time, my brain shut off when I first woke up. The first time ever. And it was so weird to me. I didn't even know. I did. I looked around. I was like, what's going on? And I'm like, oh, my mind's quiet. Like, I have such an overactive mind. I typically used to wrap up 3 thoughts, and you're still wrapping up your first one. You know what I mean? So the abilities, my ability to... And it's funny because it's just like working out. Your mind does not want to settle. Your mind is not going to want to sit still. It's a monkey mind. We all have monkey minds, right? And kind of all over the place. So, it's true. I don't mind it. And it's like working out, right? You cannot expect in one meditation or whatever to get fit. That's just not how it works, right? Just like working out, you gotta do it over and over and over and over and over again. And a matter of fact, I've heard that the 21-day thing is pretty real when it comes to, like, if you want to gauge how you feel from doing what you were doing, give it at least 21 days. I'm on, like, my third or fourth cycle of 21 days, and it's insane. I crave this one I am affirmation. So I play this one when I'm getting ready and I'm putting my makeup on and stuff. And before, I used to crave the distraction of my music, and I don't. I'm, like, craving this centeredness that it brings, and it has, like, the gigahertz behind it, too. And so it has this music that's supposed to help, like, reset, like, your Arcadian rhythm and all that stuff, right? And, you know, a lot of speaker tapes that I've listened to, like, they talk a lot about meditating and being very mindful of your mind, you know, as you get really sober. So for me, it's kind of, like, been my next step, I guess, in terms of, like, fine-tuning my program and always working on my program. How much longer? Yeah, so, you know, wrapping it up, guys, today I used to come to the Serenity Seekers meeting when I was first getting sober, and I think Bill remembers how restless I used to be. I even was sitting at my sponsor's house the other day, and I was just sitting there, right? She comes in the room, she looks a little funny. And I'm like, what? She's like, you're different. And I'm like, you know, maybe a little bit, because I would sit there and squirrel around on her couch, too. And I'm still very squirrely, but I definitely feel like my internal dialogue and everything that I got going upstairs is a little bit more manageable for me. By the time I'm done with my one eye of affirmations, 22 minutes, this guy's great. And you guys can get on YouTube, too. I would recommend trying 5 minutes of meditation, right? Don't do 20 minutes. That's really hard to sit through at first. Like, try five. Like, try it out and see how you feel. For me, it's like an all-natural medication, and I still am in awe of how effective it is in my own life. So I'll, like, get done with this one, and it's like, you know, I am worthy of my boss's respect at the end. I'm like, yeah, I am, you know? And, like, oh, I'm this, and I'm that. And I'm like, by the time that thing's done, even if I, like, woke up and I was not feeling it, I'm in a good mindset. And so I'm ready to hit the door, ready for life. And it has allowed me a lot more. I feel like I'm more rested. Like, I'm not exerting all this extra energy during the day, too. So, and the program is, you know, is exactly that. If I wasn't working a program, I would have never been open to, you know, getting on medication and to getting properly diagnosed. And then, you know, writing. My sponsor had me writing all these things about how egotistical I am, and I realized how very egotistical I really, really am. You know, I knew I was, but I'm like, oh. So, right? It's like, yeah, it's crazy. But, you know, she's calling me on some of my bigger stuff that I need to work on, and I'm thankful for that, because somebody that's too nice would maybe not say that, and I wouldn't be growing like I am now, you know? I'm open to her suggestions, even if it does hurt a little bit, and I'm thankful for that. And that's the program at work right there as well. The last thing, this was really cool. The other day, it was so crazy to me. My kids, right? My kids are in the house. I was getting ready to go to a meeting, and I was picking up a newcomer. And so, normally I dropped them off with their dad that night. And I had my dad do it. And I was like, all right, buddy, I'm going to go. And they had met her actually like the week prior. And I was like, I'm going to go pick her up or whatever. And my daughter looked at me. And she's like, bye, Mom. Have a great night. And I saw this level of respect that I don't know if I've ever quite seen it like that before. Like, yeah, she's helped me run events at the Alana Club and other things, you know. So somehow, I have turned this whole AA thing into an amazing thing that I get to show my kids what I do in my life now, you know. And I actually have gotten respect from it. And that's just crazy that God can use those things and give you that in your life, you know. We're like a big family. We would never have come together had it not been for what we deal with. But in the end, I heard a guy, my buddy, but he walked somewhere for a conference. They hadn't started yet. They had met for 2 minutes, but he goes, you want to go eat? He's like, yeah, let's go eat. You know, he goes, that doesn't happen anymore, but in AA, you know. So I'm thankful that you guys are all here tonight. I'm so thankful for everybody that's in my life. The craziest thing, too. I love being around all you guys. You know why? I realized recently, I've learned to accept myself so much more, and I think that I've done that from being around all you guys too, right? We get to be around each other. We're transparent. We share our stuff with each other, and somehow we learn to just accept ourselves a little bit more because of that. And I know that I've gotten that, and it's the biggest blessing I could ever have. I'm really thankful, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you. I don't normally do this, but normally, gosh, it's funny. It seems like it's been longer than 2.5 years. And I was trying to think of how I observed Amber when I first met her. And the best thing I think I can relate to you is that when I first met her, she came to our meetings, and my impression was she was exhausted. and the book talks about this. It talks about how the self-centered person trying to run the show, trying to organize the universe, right? And how exhausting that can be. And I don't know about you guys, but I think she's pretty damn energetic today, right? it's a welcome change. I'm glad to have you with us. All right, so we are now going to start the discussion portion of the meeting, and we'd like to hear from as many different people as possible. So again, please just keep in mind there's a lot of people here today. I'm going to go ahead and turn the meeting back over to Amber. There's a list of people who are here in the room and then people who are online, and you can call on them. And and we'll go to 8:45.
Okay.
Go ahead. Oh, and please use your outdoor voice so our friends online can hear.
I'm Debbie, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Debbie.
Thank you for your share. I don't think I've heard you share before. I can relate to so many different things, and I think the biggest thing is the blackout for me. And it brings back so much stuff. I was just telling somebody yesterday, I used to hate the feeling of waking up in the morning and looking outside and seeing my car up there going, how the hell did I drive home? Mm-hmm. Literally have no idea how I made it. Waking up in crazy places, not sure how I got there. First in the morning, hi, I'm Debbie. Yeah, what I do. Having conversations with people making lunch dates, being totally normal hotels in a blackout. But unless you knew me. I can just straight not remember anything, even have no idea. I'm so grateful that I don't have to do that anymore. And I get to go places and do things and remember it, first of all. And sometimes I get invited back. the way I acted before, nobody wanted me around. I'm just really grateful that I always like to tell newcomers that if the new people have that, get a sponsor, read the book. And meeting like this, being with people and hearing you share your story and me share mine, and maybe somebody thinks they're just that one person by themselves who just, you know, was blackout drunk and all this. I mean, not alone, we're all things. Like, and they've done it, so many people share. Men or women, and you're like, wow, that's my story. Because we relate, and we're all, you know, successful, just getting better. And, who can do keep coming back? And,
hey, Sebby.
Oh! Storm.
Storm alcoholic.
Hi, Storm.
Almost at my year.
Yeah.
Not a month. Okay. I relate pretty much everything. I've been around every personality there is, and a lot of mental disorders. I have to know how to case open on myself too. It's bipolar. Type 1 and 2, so that's fun. I got so tired of blacking out that I started doing other things. They're not blackouts, so I find you road when that happens. And I would do weird things when I blacked out. It's always involved food. my cousin said that he woke me up the next day and he's like, hey, go in the kitchen. So I go and it was trash. Like, He said that it looked like I just threw it out of the kitchen. Whatever I didn't want, I just threw it behind me. And I had to clean that up. But, yeah, I mean, we all do a lot of crazy things when we're active in our addiction. And a lot of war stories involve it. I really enjoy it. Each new person's story, I mean, that's terrifying. I feel like from going into the program, detoxing, by the 30 days, I'm not the same guy anymore. I take care of the team. And recently, without the recovery, I wouldn't be as strong as I am. My daughter had passed away January 25th. So it weighs heavy on my mind, and it's a tough journey to try to be strong as I can. Luckily, I do have a job. I'm being as important as I can. I'm glad I'm not that other character. I was 50, so I'm glad that I killed that guy, and I like to be not one of those beasts sleeping. That guy's dead. Here I am, that little voice on top of the head, or I am one. Favorite tonight. And I'm okay with hearing him. And feel the thing. So, and I'm trying to explain what he's done.
I say, oh man, she went on alcohol.
There's your
name. She was clean.
Yes.
I wouldn't really black out, drink, drunk, you know, a few times when I was younger, but I would stay drunk throughout the day. I just had that feeling, I just had to be drunk. That's talkative, I deal with social anxiety, depression, bipolar. You know, so I deal with those things now, that I haven't before. I got hooked on drugs as I got older, you know, but alcohol was always present, was always there, always had a fear. Those were my struggles and stuff like that, but this program, I came to this program off drugs for the price of something. I developed really being sober, that's sobriety for quite some time. And it's just my illness is what I'm feeling. The alcohol is too turning me back. But I have some conflict with it still. So, while I'm giving back present, so we said that it's a lifelong process. So it's either life or death. So that's all I want to be present. Nobody put me.
Erica? Hi, I'm Erica. I'm an alcoholic. We love your share.
Really?
I feel like, you know, alcoholism was I have issues regarding alcoholism. To make myself, I felt like I was lost. I look at the steps, so all the steps I have to
Like before the meeting started, like, I'm sorry for interrupting the meditation. You know, because that happened.
ask somebody, I need help. Because when you ask for that help, it's like it just opens, I don't know if it's God or whoever it is, but it opens your door that you let that out. You know, and I still remember the person that I had to call and ask for help. And I was president of the teacher's union, and I was the one that helped both people go to the rehabs and the trainings and stuff that we worked with to get people help. And I didn't really realize what I was doing. I knew I was helping people get there, telling them how to get there, and get them. But now I had to open my own mouth and tell my friend when I called him, said, hey, and he asked me, he said, well, who are you bringing? And I had to say, me. It was hard. You know, that was the toughest thing I think I ever did in my life. No one back on it. That embarrassing moment that gave me clarity after I did it. So, thank you, that's all.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you. Matt, would you like to share online, Matt?
Looks like we lost Matt.
Okay. Mike Kelly?
Yeah, he doesn't have a microphone.
Okay.
So we got Santos online.
Okay.
Santos, you're up.
What's up, man? I'm alcoholic. My name's Santos.
Santos.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, just right here, taking it day by day. Got a new job lined up. Hopefully that pans out. I've been on my job for 4 years now. Oh yeah, I've been sober since Super Bowl.
Good time.
It was New Year's Eve. Now it's Super Bowl, but yeah, just take it day by day. I like sitting in, listening in to everyone's stories. This is something new to me. So, just like hearing, like, you know, your testimony, it's eye-opening. You know, I thought I had it bad, you know, some people had it worse. But, yeah, that's pretty much it I got. I'm right here holding on because I got to go to sleep for work tomorrow.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks for having me.
So does he got the wallet recovery damages? Sobriety date would be September 8th of 2021. So fairly fresh, still shedding off this weight that's been lifted over my shoulders. I know it's still kind of like getting used to this recovery thing. I know I tried this once and then I relapsed. Couldn't work out with the roommates that I had, so that's still kind of an issue, but not really. I'm kind of working on this field. But other than that, it's pretty good. Good year. And so sober, thankfully, kind of getting back into the groove of everything, like the society and stuff like that. I have plans for myself, but usually it doesn't work out too well when you take plans on your own, so pretty much give everything to God and see where that goes.
Thank you.
So I'm afraid we have run short of time tonight, so we're going to call it there. What we'd like to do now is introduce some topics for our business meeting discussion. And normally what we do is we close the meeting and then we